Okay, everybody, now it's time to start up part two of the Buckscast. We're gonna finish off the Eastern Conference preview, then we're gonna go into some Bucks news, and then finally we're gonna wrap up the show. So everybody, here's part two of the Buckscast, and I personally am Coach Schmidt. We'll see you next Wednesday. And it is time to move on to the Miami Heat.
Ooh.
Yes, the Miami Heat. Oddly, the Miami Heat.
Might
That
have heard
team.
of them. We might have heard of them. We might
Yeah,
have heard of them.
I think they've had some news this offseason.
Apparently so. They've added, of course,
Hey,
the whole world
hold on, hold
knows.
on, hold on,
Oops,
hold on.
oops.
They've added of
Oh,
Big
yes, they
Z,
did.
Mike Miller, Juwan Howard, Dexter Pittman, Eddie House, and who else?
Didn't they get a new water boy too?
Yes, some
Pat
guy.
Riley got a new driver. Pat Riley got a new driver.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yes, of course they've added LeBron James and Chris Bosh. Let's go to the biggest Heat contributor, and I mean the biggest Heat fanatic in Chuck Schilling.
Oh yeah, I'm a huge diehard Heat fan. Yeah,
I can
you
hear the
know,
excitement in your
it's
voice.
I give Pat Riley a lot of props for working it out and getting the big three down there. And then not only that, I really didn't think he'd be able to fill out the roster with the money restrictions he had left after that. He did a fantastic job of filling out that roster. It's much better than I thought. My concern is James, Wade, and Bosh are obviously going to have to log a ton of minutes. And if any one of them gets injured, that team's going to be in trouble because they're all going to be playing, I have to imagine, 40 minutes a night or more, just because they don't have, you know, the Bucks have a ton of depth. We could have guys playing 20 minutes a night just fine. The Heat, not so much. So we'll see. If they get one injury, I think they're going to be in a lot of trouble. And we'll see how the chemistry goes.
And of course, the music I'm playing is pretty much perfect for the Miami Heat's
Oh, that's
2010
awesome.
offseason. Yes, that
Awesome
is.
music.
I do have a question for you guys. If they would lose one guy, who would hurt the most? Bosh, James, and D Wade. I think I'll have to go with losing Bosh would be the hardest. If they lose James, I can easily put Mike Miller in there. And D Wade, of course, they have some. They can put like Arroyo or Mario person there. So I think Bosh would be the greatest loss if one of the guys would get injured.
Well, guys, as I see it, is this okay? You lose one of the three, then the talk of you winning 70 games is out the window. But they still can do quite well. Like, you know, you still have two legitimate all-stars, two studs and players. So I mean, you know, one goes down, you know, it's not all doom and gloom. You still got two other guys to pick up the slack. And as far as the team, and let's see what happens when they start playing. I mean, you want to anoint them champs and, you know, maybe they are the evil empire, as the music suggests, but we'll see. We'll see.
The Heat are who we thought they were. If you want to crown them, then crown them.
Oh, jeez. Claude, what do you think about the Miami Heat?
Well, I'm very excited for opening. We all know that. My Boston Celtics are opening the season national TV against the Heat at home in the Boston Garden, and you know I'm going to be there. Celtics have thrown in Delonte West. The Knicks kind of add to the excitement, so you're going to get the whole Delonte LeBron mom side story going in there. I have to agree with everyone else. Of course, together team of extreme team, if you want to call it, they have all the pieces. It looks great on paper. It's going to be a matter of, are they going to stay healthy? They say that they're all going to get along fine. They say that they're not going to be egocentric and they're all going to be there to play as a team. But we'll see what happens when the lights come on.
Yes, and yes, Quap was breaking up. I think it is the power of the Force that was messing up this conference. they have a nice team on paper, most definitely. You know, Bosh, Wade, and LeBron. Three of maybe the top 10 players in the NBA right now. But the rest of the team, question mark. Of course, he got the great three-point shooter in Mike Miller, who only rivals, you know, maybe Kyle Korver as the best three-point shooter, you know, in the NBA. They got Big Z. But do you really trust Joel Anthony or Mazilius Algauskas as the, you know, the starting center? I don't think so. You know, Chris Bosh as Aldi.
Let me put it out there for a second. If you go back to those great Bulls teams and you take away Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan, what do you have left? I would say you have a mirror of what you have in Miami right now.
Very good point.
Yeah, and you know what? I think fans are tired of all this Miami Heat talk. So let's move on to Boston.
Yeah, baby.
Okay, the Boston Celtics have added Shaq, the Shaquille O'Neal, of course, the big Shamrock. They also added the other O'Neal in Jermaine O'Neal, Delonte West, Von Wafer, Avery Bradley, and of course Luke, future Scalabrine, Heron Doty. So, Quad, what do you think about your Boston Celtics?
Yeah, well, as you know, it was a heartbreaking loss here in Celtics Nation. We all had but lit up the cigars, and it looked like we were going to go on to banner number 18, but they ran out of gas in Game 7, and the Lakers succeeded in winning. So this has been a really roller coaster ride of the last 8 or 9 months for Celtics Nation. The last few months have been, of course, people have been very enthusiastic. Danny Ainge brought in much-needed help in the middle with both Shaquille O'Neal and Jermaine O'Neal, which, no pun intended, is absolutely huge. Kendrick Perkins went down right before Game 7, had his first serious injury, and he immediately brought in some help, Shaq and Jermaine O'Neal. Kendrick Perkins originally was supposed to be, his projected date to come back was February, but he's already had his surgery. He's already walking around without crutches. He's looking like he's ahead of schedule. So they're going to be looking very, very good in the middle. As far as the backcourt goes, they've brought in Von Wafer. They've re-signed Marquise Daniels, and they've also brought back Delonte West. You know that Rajon Rondo is kind of the cog that makes the Celtics motor go. And I think with him, Wafer, Daniels, they did lose Tony Allen, who I think when Tony Allen left, that kind of opened or for them to re-sign Daniels. I think they're going to be good in the backcourt. For those who don't follow the Celtics, last year they brought Daniels in to be a backup for Ray Allen and Paul Pierce. Daniels hurt his thumb midway through the season. He was never the same after that. Doc Rivers basically benched him for the rest of the year. They're giving Marquise Daniels a second chance. They re-signed him to another deal. Hopefully he can healthy and be a solid backup. I think age, you know, we listened to the age jokes all season last year. It was just, you know, the diapers, the Geritol, you know, these guys are too old. We all know that they're old. And I think with this team, we all know that the personnel is there. They have a great coach in Doc Rivers. It's all going to come down to health. It's all going to come down to the health of these guys. These guys are another year older now, the nucleus of Pierce, Allen, and Garnett. You know, Shaq and Jermaine O'Neal are no spring chickens either. So the real key contributors on the team are older guys. I honestly believe if they do stay healthy, which is obviously going to be the key here, I do see them capable of going back to the Eastern Conference Finals, but it's really going to be a matter of can this team go through another 82 games, the wear and tear of another NBA season, and stay healthy. That's going to be the key for the Celtics.
Yeah, most definitely. And, of course, you guys are probably really, you know, pumped up about the coming out party that was of Rajon Rondo in 2010 postseason. So you got a nice young top five point guard there in Rajon Rondo, you know, to kind of build the team for the future once Allen, you know, KG, Shaq, and Jermaine O'Neal retire. And it's time to move on to Audley's thoughts on the Boston Celtics.
Hey, as far as the Celtics are concerned, in my mind, in my view, they are the Eastern Conference champs, and until they're beaten, and I don't care who you give, if you, the Evil Empire or Orlando, I don't care who you put out there, they still are the champs. So the team itself, I think they're, you know, if you put aside the age for a second here, Quapp, I mean, you talked about that. If you put aside the age for a moment, this is a well-constructed team. They have, you know, their base is all. I like the bringing back Marquise. I think was a great move. I've been a Vaughn Wafer fan for a little while now. I mean, he's not I think he's a great shooter. I think that's I like his scoring ability and the punch that he provides. And you think of a guy like Nate Robinson last year, and you know, in the playoffs, and you know, the spark that he provided. You know, I think Vaughn Wafer can do a similar type of role. You know, whether or not he has an opportunity, that's a whole other story. But you know what? As far as it goes for me. Hey, the Celtics, they very well should be into the Eastern Conference Finals, or representing the East in the Finals, I should say.
Okay, and another Chuck supports a lot of teams outside of the Bucks, and one of them are the Boston Celtics, right, Chuck?
Oh, anyone who knows me knows that I always root for the underdog small market team. So I'm going to root for almost any Eastern Conference team over the Boston Celtics. And I love Ray Allen for what he was with the Bucks and the Sonics, because everyone knows the Sonics are my number two team. Rest in peace.
I know. May they rest in peace. Those
yeah.
Beautiful
as far as Boston this year, I kind of, you know, last year I didn't see them doing what they did in the playoffs. I thought, you know, everyone was saying, oh, they're saving it for the playoffs, they're saving it for the playoffs, and I just wasn't buying it. They really shocked me in the playoffs, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them do that again. I wouldn't be surprised to see them coast a little bit in the regular season, you know, get the third, fourth, maybe even fifth seed, because, you know, they know how to turn it on in the playoffs. By the time the playoffs roll around, Perkins will be back. If no other injuries, they should all be healthy. And that they know that that's when they need to hit their stride. They know if they come in at the, you know, it doesn't matter where they come in, that if they're healthy and playing their game, they can beat anyone in the Eastern Conference. So it doesn't matter if they're the, I mean, I don't foresee them being the eighth seed, but it wouldn't matter to them if they were the eighth seed. Other than home court advantage, I don't think they really care. And I don't think that's a big deal for a veteran team like them. So I fully expect them to somewhat coast in the regular season, probably still hold on to a, you know, about the third, fourth seed like they were last year. But, you know, that's in come the playoffs, I expect them to be a force. You know, they're as good as any other team in the Eastern Conference, including Miami. And, you know, once the playoffs start, I wouldn't count them out of anything. And I expect them to put up a fight against a Miami, Orlando, Chicago, Milwaukee, whoever they match up against. Should be make for a good series.
Yeah, most definitely agree. And of course, like you said, the Boston Celtics kind of, you know, coasted, you know, a little bit in the regular season. Quab, are you angry at me for saying that?
No, I think that is spot on. I think that, and I also have to go back to what Chuck said when he said, as an outsider looking in, a non-Celtics fan, how they surprised them. They surprised us too, because. Mm-hmm. There were some really questionable times during last year's regular season when there was a serious lack of effort. There was some chemistry issues. You know, there were nights when we needed Rashid to just shut up and play, and he was causing a lot of angst and some bitterness from his fellow teammates. And a lot of us really were surprised as well. But it's kind of goes back to what Chuck said with the team. Who has the leadership that they have and the veteran playoff experience all the way down the line from the coach to the players. As long as they stay healthy and they have those key pieces, they're always going to be formidable.
Mm-hmm. And last season, I was listening to your show, the Celtics Late Night Show, on Blog Talk Radio. Everybody check out that show.
Plug.
Yes. Plug. Like you said, last season, you guys were pretty much hating on Rasheed Wallace, of course, during regular season. I think most of the NBA was hating on Rasheed, but of course, he is gone for retirement. Of course, his bald spot is also gone, not to retirement. And you guys have a lot of talent, and I think a lot of chemistry. I think the players you have can mesh together as a team come, you know, February, March, April, May, and June. But I think you guys could be either the third or fourth seed. But if you do play your butts off all season long, don't be surprised if the Celtics atop maybe the Orlando Magic. And let's move on to the Atlanta Hawks, who have added the likes of Josh Powell, Jordan Crawford, and Joe Johnson's ridiculous contract. Of course, they have lost Josh Childress and his irrelevant afro. So, Audrey, what do you think about the Atlanta Hawks?
You know, this is another one of the teams that are kind of in a holding pattern. I don't see a growth. You know, I use them as an example earlier. I was talking about the Bucks with respect to the growth year after year. To me, it almost seems like they've kind of peaked and they've sort of plateaued in a sense. And that next level, like I don't see it as clearly as I have the last couple of years with them. You know, I know it was a big thing to go back to bring Joe Johnson back, and I understand that. But at the end of the day, I'm not quite sure, you know, what that really does for the team. I mean, certainly he's a stabilizing force, and he solidifies some things with them overall. But I think they're ready to move on to the next level, and I don't see that. So I think by them sort of in this holding pattern, that's made room, you know, that's made way for teams like Chicago, as I talked about earlier, to overtake them, and even the Bucks for that matter. So, you know, will they have a productive year? Yeah, I mean, they still have some talented pieces, Al Horford's or, you know, Josh Smith. So they've got some pieces. I just kind of look, you know, again, I'm always looking for the growth and development, and I'm not quite sure I see that any longer with this team.
Yeah, most definitely. And Quad, what do you think about the Atlanta Hawks?
Yeah, Aldi made some great points there, and I tell you, I lost a lot of confidence in Atlanta, especially last year. You know, during their famous you know, postseason collapse, if you want to call it. And Atlanta is this team who I think is really, really stagnant right now. I think that they're resting on some laurels that they might not necessarily have. They still have their nucleus of, you know, Mike Bibby, Joe Johnson, Schmidt, Marvin Williams, Jamal Crawford, who I'm not sure what's going on with the Crawford situation now, but if I remember correctly, if I was reading on ESPN not too long ago, that Crawford might very well be on his way out of Atlanta or trying to get out of his deal with the Hawks somehow. Which would probably kill them, because Crawford was absolutely phenomenal for them last year. He was just lights out off the bench for them. But I really, with Aldi, I think the Hawks are a stagnant team. I think they're not quite as good as they think they are. They seem to me this team that doesn't have that killer instinct. They give me the impression that they think they're just going to kind of coast through with the talent they have, and I think they've lost any bit of killer instinct that they had. And it's going to be a really questionable season for them. I think they could go either way. They could very well finish somewhere in the top seeding, or they could really decline and go the other way if they get hit with some injuries. I just see this team that's really on the fence, and a good breeze either way could really blow them, you know?
Yeah, and this team really has stayed stagnant, like you said, and a lot of other teams have gotten better. Milwaukee has gotten better. Chicago has gotten better. Don't be surprised to see the Atlanta Hawks maybe as a sixth seed in the postseason come April. Chuck, another one of your favorite teams featuring Josh Smith, who you absolutely adore. Chuck, what do you think about the Atlanta Hawks?
Yeah, I think realistically they're probably the sixth seed. I do put them in that second tier where if things go their way, they could be anywhere from 3 to 6, along with, like I said, Chicago, Milwaukee, and Boston. But I think the other teams around them, Milwaukee and Chicago, got better. They didn't change anything. They're pretty much the same team. I think that the Joe Johnson contract's going to be crippling when it gets to the end of that. I don't think he's worth 6 years, $120 million. I mean, we here in Milwaukee know all too well about that with Michael Redd. Obviously, Joe Johnson's a better player than Michael Redd, but at the same time, that's, you know, 6 years, $120 million is, that's, I'm glad it wasn't our team handing that out. So I agree, they're very stagnant, and I think it was Quapt who was talking about how they don't have that killer instinct, and I was going to say that this team seems mentally weak. I mean, the Bucks took them to 7 games without our best player in Andrew Bogut, and then they went on to lose by a combined total of, what was it, 150-something points in 4 games to Orlando, the worst point differential ever in the playoffs. I mean,
they got smoked.
I love the Bucks. I'm a Bucks homer, and I think they have a chance in every game they play. But we had no business taking them to 7 games without Andrew Bogut last season, and it wasn't even like it was a fluke. We blew them out in games 3 and 4 at home. We beat them in their home in game 5 when we were down 14 with like 3 minutes to go, and we went on a 21-2 run or something to finish the game. And, you know, that stuff shouldn't happen. If you're a mentally tough team, if you're up by 14 points with less than a half a quarter to go in the playoffs, you need to win that game if you're at home. Now, they did come back and beat us in our house and beat us in game 7, both games pretty handily, but we just kind of ran out of gas. We were missing our best player. We put up a valiant fight. You know, there's only so much you can do when you're missing, you know, I think Andrew Bogut ended up being second team All-NBA center. I mean, Second team. But either third, whatever it was, either way, you're talking one of the top, you know, arguably top 2-3 centers in the game. And, you know, it's just, we ran out of gas. So to me, they're just a mentally weak team. I mean, many people know I'm in the Squad 6. I don't know if these other two guys know what Squad 6 is for the Bucks. But
I do. Those guys are great, man. Squad 6 is awesome. They bring it every game, every night, man.
Yeah, I'm a member of that. It was a really fun time. And before the games, you know, I think it was before game 4, I got into the arena maybe an hour and a half early. I was there really early, and what's his name? The guy who went second behind Andrew Bogut in the draft. His name's slipping my mind.
Marvin Williams.
Marvin Williams, there you go. Marvin Williams is out there shooting around, and 3 of us went up and we just started heckling him, you know, just stupid stuff like, oh, hey, Marvin Martian, and, you know, just whatever, you know, calling him a bust, all this. And he was so, in my mind, mentally fragile that he had to look at us and respond to us and say stuff like, oh, you wish you were me, you wish you had my money. And we were just heckling him. That sort of thing should not get in your head as a player on the road, because you should be used to that. It's a hostile environment. The same thing with Josh Smith. One of us had the other guys in Squad 6 had a sign that said Josh Smith is a tool, and he held it up by the sign coming out of the locker room, and Josh Smith flipped them off. And there were no cameras on, so it never got any run on ESPN or anything like that. But to me, these are all just signs that that team just doesn't get it. And not only do I think they're stagnant, I think they're due to take a step back this year. I think they've achieved all they can. They're stagnant, and they're just due for a setback now.
Yeah, and remember Josh Smith's comment about the city of Milwaukee during playoffs. Said there's nothing to do in Milwaukee, and then the Bucks end up winning 3 straight on them. So
that was great. That was great.
Yeah, it was one of the highlights of the season. I'm pretty sure you could hear it on the ESPN broadcast or whatever station game 7 was on. The entire Bradley Center for the last minute and a half of game six. Yeah. The last minute and a half or so of game 6, the entire Bradley Center just chanting Josh Smith sucks, because well, Squad 6 started it. And by the end of the year, the entire Milwaukee fan base knew who we were and to follow along. So it's something that sent chills down my spine, because he trash talked our city, and we basically let him know, you know, we let him know what's up.
Yeah, and I'm like, I think it was 37-year-old Kurt Thomas held his own against the 23-year-old Al Horford in the playoffs, and I was really surprised about that, how good Kurt Thomas did. But of course, he's gone, and I'm not really not that sure about the Atlanta Hawks, but I won't be surprised if they finish sixth. But we'll let the season, we'll let the play on the courts, you know, describe how they are as a team. And now let's move on to the Orlando Magic. They've added Chris Stuhan and Quinton Richardson. And, of course, they have lost Matty Barnes, co-opt. What do you think about the Magic?
Well, the Orlando Magic have slowly built up a semi-rivalry with my Celtics over the past few years. I think the Celtics absolutely shocked Orlando, the city of Orlando and the Magic last year in the playoffs. I don't think anyone thought that we were going to go in there and throw them around like we did. I think Orlando is, there's a lot of teams out there that really hinge on that one superstar player. And I think Orlando, more so than some of those other teams, really hinges on not just Dwight Howard's play, but just the way Dwight Howard's character and the way he carries himself out on the court. And I personally would have liked over the past few seasons to see Dwight Howard just mature a little bit more. I still see him as that little kid too much sometimes. I mean, you know, off the court, you know, you're doing commercials and having fun. That's great. You know, knock yourself out. But I still see him in the middle of games, you know, big games too, playoff games, you know, that little smile. And I still think he could get a little bit more of an edge of toughness to his game. I think Orlando is a team almost that kind of mirrors the Hawks, where they're kind of at that stagnant point. You have a good nucleus in of course in Vince Carter, Dwight Howard, and Rashard Lewis, but Vince Carter is a guy who is the older he gets, the more injury prone he is. And Rashard Lewis is also a guy with some question marks, not nearly as many as Vince Carter. But I don't see Orlando, you know, having a bad year. I think they're definitely going to be in the top at least four or five seeds, maybe even the top three. But I think they're very similar to Atlanta, where it's going to be a question mark type of year. I'm not sure if they're really sure what direction they're going in as a team either. They haven't made any big moves this off season. And I think, you know, when you take away Dwight Howard, Carter, and Rashard Lewis, they don't have a lot of other great players. I mean, they picked up Quinton Richardson. You know, he's going to help them out a little on the bench. They still have Petrus, but I don't see Orlando, like I said, having a bad year. I think they're going to have a decent year, but I don't know if they're going to be quite as good as they were last season.
Yeah, let's move on to Audley Stevenson.
Yeah, the Orlando Magic are a great regular season team. That's the extent of it, guys. They're great in the regular season. They'll have some pretty decent seeding, get home court in the first round. But when it comes time to when it's crunch time, when it's the pressure is on, a guy like Rashard Lewis, he just disappears. He's non-existent. Vince Carter, he's not really a big time performer. I mean, I've seen this guy play in Toronto for years. I know what he's about in terms of what he does on the court, and he kind of vanishes. As far as I'm concerned, Quap, you know, is if Dwight Howard, you know, if he wants to smile and have jokes with people, I couldn't care less as long as he produces on the court. Quite honest with you,
right.
I think some players, they get themselves going in different ways. And I think for Dwight Howard, that's how he gets into his zone. He gets in his zone by being smiling and being the practical joke, whatever it is. I think that's what gets him going. And you know what? If he's able to do that and still produce, that's fine. The problem with Dwight Howard is that we've been waiting for him to do more of an offensive type of a game. And there have been some glimmers, and so we've seen some shades of it. And Pat Ewing has worked with him, and he's got a bit of a jump hook. But naturally, you know, his natural game is to go out there and crash the boards and do what he does the best. So, I mean, I think when you look at this team, you know, as you see what they are, they're great in a regular season. Don't expect much out of the playoffs. But we're quite honest with you.
Yeah, and of course, Quat was talking about his maturity, and you know, when you go against Boston Celtics or LA Lakers, you really need to go up, you know, when you're facing guys like, you know, KG, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, Kobe Bryant, and Paul Gasol. And Dwight Howard hasn't done that yet. This is his, I think, his seventh year in the league. And I really don't think he's going to really mature. He is, 24 years old right now, and he's in prime of his career. He's a great player, but when it comes down to the Eastern Conference Finals and the NBA Finals, he's really not that mature. He really doesn't have that killer instinct, you know what, to get it done. Like, you know, Shaq had, Hakeem had, Ewing had. And, Chuck, what do you think about the Magic?
I think they've got enough depth and experience to probably finish where they have the last few years for in terms of playoff seeding in the regular season. I think they're a number two. You know, as long as Dwight stays healthy, teams are going to have to double team him. He'll be able to kick it out, and they've got enough sharpshooters that can hit threes in the perimeter. I agree. I don't know about their toughness in the playoffs. It seems to somewhat disappear. But I think they've got enough depth, talent, both, you know, for inside with not only Dwight, but they have a very serviceable backup center. You know, some teams would love to have him as a starting center. And then they've got enough shooters around Dwight. I mean, that's very similar to a lot of what Milwaukee did last year when Boga was healthy. You know, Boga would draw the double team, kick it out to Jennings, Delfino, Ersan, whoever, for, you know, a wide open three, Salmons, all them. You know, your outside shooting really opens up a lot when you've got a dominant elite 7-foot big man like a Dwight Howard. So, you know, I think in the regular season they'll be fine. Playoffs, you know, anything can happen, but I agree they seem to shrink in the playoffs.
One player that really didn't shrink in the playoffs is oddly Stevenson's favorite player of all time, and Vince Carter.
There you go.
I've said this many times. It's going to be interesting. This entire NBA season is going to be interesting. And one other team that's going to be interesting, last team that we're going to talk about in the Eastern Conference, everybody, wake up. Come on, guys. I know Audley Stevenson and Quant are yawning and falling asleep, but we have one team left, and it happens to be, sadly, the Cleveland Cavaliers. Let's talk about their additions, shall we? Remus Sessions, Ryan Hollins, Samado Samuels, and Joey Graham. They've lost Delonte West, Shaquille O'Neal, Big Z, and Sebastian Telfair. Is there another player that I forgot to mention?
I don't know, I can think of.
You know, perhaps we should have an hour-long show to talk about that. Who that player might be.
I think the podcast and the ESPNs have talked about that enough. Of course, guys, they lost LeBron James. And I'm going to play another song here in the background as I'm going to go to Audley Stevenson to talk about the death of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Audley, go.
Well, you know, as I see it, guys, I mean, this is pretty straightforward. But this team was designed around a guy named LeBron James. He's not there. And this team has got nowhere to go. I mean, I don't expect much out of them for several years. This is going to put their franchise back. And again, going back to the example I gave of Toronto losing their all-star and LeBron, the Cleveland losing theirs, it's a totally different scenario because at least you've got something to work with. The pieces that are left behind were solely complementary to LeBron James, and he's not there no more. So now you've got pieces that are standing alone. And I talked to you, I gave the example. There we go. You guys feeling that right now? if you look at, it's killing me. If you look at using the Chicago Bulls analogy, if you take Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen out of it, what do you have? And what you have is a mirror of what you've got now in Cleveland. So, yeah, doesn't look good, guys, for a few years.
but they're both definitely hurting, as the sun said. And let's move on to Quad.
Well, I mean, Yeah, I mean, as Audley said, the Cleveland organization had the team around. Now with the fraud gone, you know, they're going to have to pick up pieces. They have, you know, they have some all-star caliber players, and Antoine Jameson, of course, Williams, Deion Pope.
Okay, I'm going to end the music.
And, I mean, you really do have to feel for that city of Cleveland. Cleveland is one of the great, you know, sports cities in the country. They have really, really devoted fans. They've just been through heartbreak after heartbreak, loss after loss, collapse after collapse. And then for LaFraud to kind of come in and kick them in the nuts like this in the offseason, you know, was bad. But Cleveland is a tough city. They're going to bounce back. I really think that obviously they're not going to fill the seats like they have the past few years, but I think that those fans are going to respond well. They're going to go to the games. They're going to cheer the team on. And if nothing else, for all those listening out there, mark down on your calendars December 2nd. December 2nd, 2010 is the night that Heat and LeBron return to that arena. And I tell you, that is going to be something that you do not miss. That place is going to be off the hook. I don't know if they're going to make T-shirts or have special signs, but they're going to have to wheel LeBron in there in the Hannibal Lecter suit, because people are really going to let him have it, and it's going to be very fun to watch.
And Chuck, what do you think about the demise of the Cavs?
Well, you know, I'm torn. You know, on one hand, you know, I browse enough internet forums and talk to enough fans of other franchises that some Cavs fans have really gotten on my nerves over the last few years with their arrogance and all that. So on one hand, I'm like, yeah, now here, it's here. Your time. We're going to kick you while you're down. But on the other hand, you know, we're a small market here in Milwaukee. Cleveland's a smaller market. They have diehard, you know, blue-collar fans, very similar to what we have here in Milwaukee, you know, a bunch of diehard, blue-collar, hardworking Midwest fans. So I do feel bad for them, especially the way it went down. I think the way, you know, if LeBron had just said, hey, you know, I'm leaving, you know, it is what it is, you know, whatever, it would have hurt, it would have sucked. The end result's obviously the same, but to make the spectacle of, you know, the decision and bring it on national TV and just basically punch them all in the gut like that, it was just, it's just awful. No one deserves that. It's you know, it's kind of one of those things, you know, I would never wish this on my enemy. Well, that's one of those things I would never wish on my enemy. So, you know, I feel bad. They could, in theory, compete for the eighth seed, but I think they're more likely to win 25 games this year than anything. You know, they're definitely in the Eastern Conference, they'll take the biggest dip. You know, teams that are looking to pick up wins this year, it's going to come at the expense of the Cleveland Cavaliers giving them up.
And the Cavs team was really built around LeBron. And without LeBron, they don't have a player to look at. Oh, wait, they have the all-star in Mo Williams. I'm sorry. The future LeBron, the replacement for LeBron James, of course, and Mo Williams. And, of course, don't forget about Joey Graham and Christian Nyinga, who are going to, of course, you know, recapture the talent of LeBron James. And that wraps up the Eastern Conference preview. It was longer than expected. I think Audley and Quabbs are falling asleep right now.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you still. I'm here. I'm here.
What's that, huh? What?
And we're going to finish off with plugs for Audley and Quats. Let's start out with Audley.
Sorry, I missed that.
Plugs.
Well, of course, plugs. Absolutely. It's important to plug, guys. I agree with you. Hey, listen, the NBA Breakdown, www.thenbabreakdown.com is where you can find me. Look, classic hoops talk. You like to talk basketball, kind of like what you heard tonight. Just a lot of fun, a lot of laughs, a lot of great guests. And, hey, you know, this is how we do it. So check us out by all means. Got a lot of great content on our site, and hope you find something you like. Thanks
hey,
for having me, by
hey,
the way.
You said this is how you do it. And last season, you and Montel Williams. You know,
that's it. Montel, he's a good friend of the show. He always he's a big LA Lakers fan, Actually, he's also a great, big-time Orlando Magic fan, so he likes Dwight Howard. In fact, he's been told he looks like him. I'm not quite sure, but I think maybe a little bit.
Just a little shorter, though.
A bit. Yes, he did say that. It was actually funny. He told a great story in one of the interviews, and hey, there's a plug. It's on the site. But he was actually he went into when he was back when he was in high school, and he wasn't a really big basketball player, but he played the game, and he shows up at this new high school, and he's got the last name Jordan. Everyone has these expectations of who he's supposed to play like, and he has sadly had to let a few people down.
Poor guy.
Yeah. But great guy to talk to. He's a good friend of the show. Good friend.
Okay, Quads. Just go on. Plug. Go.
Sure. Well, I have a very small blog that I do. At the URL is very easy. It's Quapt, which is kwapt.blogspot.com. During the off season, there's not a lot of stuff on it, but I go to most every Celtics home game and some away games as well, and I'm always posting pictures, video clips, any type of post-game stuff that I have. Occasionally, I do get to go down to the locker room area and try to get some pictures of the players and stuff. So if you're a Celtics fan, if you're an NBA fan, period, my blog has some great stuff on it. And a couple of the blogs that I support and that I'm involved with are RedsArmy.com, which is a great Celtics site, GenosJungle.com, which is one of the newer sites, and I'm also occasionally on the Celtics Late Night Show, which is a great weekly show on Blog Talk Radio. And I want to say, you know, thanks a lot for having me on, guys. And you guys have a great deal of basketball knowledge. I think for four guys that basically I've never met and just threw together a show in a couple of days, you know, we had some good chemistry, and it was a lot of fun being with you guys. Thanks for having me.
Okay, I think you guys forgot about your Twitters.
Oh, yeah, I am on Twitter. It's at KWAPT or Quapt.
Okay, and Audley?
Hey, that's the Odd Man, T-H-E-A-U-D-M-A-N. Hit me up. I accept any and all requests. I'm on Facebook. I'm on everywhere. Hit me up.
Okay, everybody, this has been the Eastern Conference Preview. The lengthy Eastern Conference Preview, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some news that's been hitting the Milwaukee Bucks in the past week. So we'll hit you up after this break. Hello, everybody. We are back to the BucksCast, and it's time to go to some Bucks news. We're going to start out with the FIBA World Championships that are ending on Sunday. First, we'll start out with Carlos Delfino, who Team Argentina won, I think it was like the third place game or whatever in the FIBA World Championships against Russia. But in the FIBA World Championships, Carlos Delfino did average of 19.8 points per game, 5.1 rebounds per game, and 2.8 assists per game. He was 35% from the three-point line. Chuck, I was going to call you Carlos Delfino for a second. But Chuck, what do you think about Delfino's performance in the FIBAs?
You know, he was probably the second best player on the team on Argentina, which is not to take away from him. He had put up some great stats, but I think it was Scola played out of his mind in the tournament. It was the fifth place game that they won. So, you know, yeah, they look good. I think they really laid an egg in their what would be the quarterfinal game against Slovenia. Lithuania. There you go, yes. Lithuania. They really just came out flat, and Lithuania hit every shot under the sun. So, you know, it's kind of unfortunate for them to have a bad game at the same time that Lithuania just played out of their minds. But overall, you know, what I've seen is very encouraging. He's playing with a higher confidence level, probably coming off of that great season he had in Milwaukee last year. I think he's playing at an all-time high confidence level, and I hope it can carry over to this year in the regular in the NBA season.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, Delfino, not yet consistent from the three-point line. I think in the portion of his career, he will never be. But he's a nice option from a behind line. Of course, we know about his defense. We know about his hustle. And we know about the energy that he brings to the Bucks. So, you know what? I'm not mad or I'm not super, super duper excited about what he did in the FIBAs. But he put up some nice stats, and another guy that has put up some nice stats in FIBA World Championships has been my favorite Buck, Ersan Ilyasova, who has averaged 15.7 points per game, 7.7 rebounds per game, and has been lighting up behind line. He has been shooting 60% from behind the FIBA three-point line. Chuck, what do you think about Ersan's performance in the FIBAs?
You know, he's looked good. The most encouraging thing I've noticed is it looks like he's maybe put on 5 or 10 pounds. And I know when the season ended, he specifically stated he wanted to try to bulk up, maybe add 10 pounds, so that he could better cope with the banging inside in the NBA game with other big guys for a course of 82 games. So it looks like he probably accomplished that. You know, I that's the most encouraging thing to me. But yeah, he has been playing very well.
Yeah, and of course, I think I'm really gonna be interested to see what he does against the Team USA on Sunday, playing against some you know, big talent, and like some maybe a Tyson Chandler or Lamar Odom. And speaking of Team USA, they are going to face Lithuania Saturday. Of course, the show is going to be up on iTunes Saturday morning. So if you're listening to it on a Saturday morning, look ahead to the upcoming game. But of course, I'm not really that surprised about the way Team USA has been going. Of course, the big performer has been Kevin Durant, lining up with a 19.9 points per game. He's been also rebounding, assists. He has just been the all-around player that we have learned to know in Kevin Durant. They're playing Lithuania. Then I really do hope that they play Turkey on Sunday and have Ersan play against the likes of, you know, Chandler, Odom, and maybe even the undersized power forward, maybe in Kevin Durant. So that's basically all the FIBA, you know, World Championships that we really need to talk about. We don't have, you know, some prize, you know, European prospects, you know, from Lithuania or any other places that we need to talk about. So it's time to talk about the players that we have signed this past week. The first player that we signed this past week has been Darrington Hobson, who I think should be playing in Fort Wayne this season, if he is not out for season, like people have been saying. Chuck, what do you think about the Darrington Hobson signing?
Yeah, you know, I like him. He beat up a lot on lesser competition in the in his conference in college. Obviously, didn't play in one of the big power conferences, but he did put up some pretty gaudy numbers. I'm very curious as to see what the real status of this injury is. You know, we've got some people speculating season-ending hip surgery. I think Gary Wolfel was the first member of the media to confirm that he might need some sort of hip surgery today. But, you know, I'm just in a kind of wait-and-see mode because I know he's been working out with the Bucks, but it appears there's some sort of nagging hip-slash-groin injury. So we'll have to see how it happens. But, you know, it's not likely he's going to play any meaningful minutes for the Bucks this year, regardless of whether he's healthy or not. So I want him to be ripe for the future because John Hammond obviously saw some potential in him.
Yeah, and he definitely saw some potential in him because Hobson was out of Summer League because of the hip injury, I think. And John Hammond did sign him so early on in the offseason. I think he was going to maybe sign him a little bit later, but, you know, this early in early September, I'm really kind of shocked. But another shocking signing is Tiny Tynes Gallen, of course. Tiny Gallen, of course, loves me via Twitter. And why did we sign this guy? You know, we have a lot of depth at, you know, at the four in the power forward. But why did we have to pick this guy up? Why did we have to sign him? And why not keep us right and sign him to Europe?
Well, it's not a guaranteed deal. If we didn't offer him a deal, he becomes a free agent regardless. So I think it was a case of we had to sign him to keep his rights. If he shows something in camp, then we can decide that. But if he doesn't, we just cut him. It's a non-guaranteed contract, and it's the same as it was, you know, either the other way. So, you know, I'm not too worried about it. I think it was just a matter of keeping him, and you know, we'll go from there. We'll see how he looks in camp.
Do you really have some – what expectations do you have in a Tiny Gallen?
You know, I don't have any expectations at this point.
Yeah.
It's a non-guaranteed contract. I wasn't impressed with his game in Summer League because he loved to jack those threes. And with his body, I wish he'd just get in there and bang. He's a big guy. He can put some serious abuse down in the paint. You know, if he can figure it out, if he can listen to the coaches, if he can, you know, keep his weight under control, he definitely has potential. He is only 19 years old, but I'll wait and see what happens. You know, I'll trust John Hammond and Scott Skiles to make the right decision.
Yeah, and I'm starting to think the only reason why we got Tiny Gallen was because he was best buddies with Brandon Jennings. But we'll wait to see. Like you said, I was really angry. I think I was really angry. Seriously. Seriously pissed off by the way he actually played in Summer League. What is he, 6'8", 290?
6'9", I think he's 6'9", 290-ish. Yeah, somewhere around there.
He has a big body, but yet he hangs around the perimeter like he's a two guard or a point guard. Why? Use that weight, use that strength he had, Tiny Gallen, post up against, you know, the smaller Summer League guys. Use the power that you have and your body, Mr. Tiny Gallen. And also, I haven't been following you on Twitter, but of course since you blocked me, but just shut up. For God's sake, just shut up and, you know, go on the treadmill a little more. That's all I have to say. I really don't want to see Tiny Gallen in a Bucks uniform, you know, anytime soon. And we signed him just to keep his rights, you know. If we didn't sign him, of course he was gonna be a free agent, but go to Europe, driving the left side of the road. And that's pretty much it. We're gonna come back after this break with the Bucks cast wrap up.
She's young, hard, and homely. chase that feeling. Don't chase that feeling like I've been looking for.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the BucksCast, and we are going to wrap up tonight's show. And we're going to start off with plugs. Chuck, do you have anything to plug?
Just standard stuff. You know, you can follow me on Twitter, ChucklesLove. For those of you interested and that are in the Milwaukee area, Squad 6 auditions are coming up. They are, well, 2 weeks from the day we're recording this, which is Friday, September 24th. They will be at Cathedral Square Park at, I believe, 6:30. Let me just pull up Facebook here. Yeah, 6:30, Friday, September 26th at Cathedral Square Park down on the east side of Milwaukee. You can find it on the Squad 6 Facebook page. So come out and join us there. Should be a lot of fun. I'll be there and some of the other former Squad 6 members from last year and all that. So, good times.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, it's become a routine of mine through the first three, now four episodes of the show. You can follow me on Twitter. Chuck, are you ready?
Yes.
And you can follow me on Twitter. It is Dakota_Schmidt. That is DAKOTA_SCHMIDT. And you can email the show with any questions that you want the BucksCast host to answer. Email us buckscast@gmail.com. So everybody, this has been the BucksCast. I'm Dakota. That's Chuck. And we'll see you next week. And again, everybody, of course, you gotta fear the deer. We'll see you next week, everybody.